You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona. This morning's message is built around the words of wisdom from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Well, before we do this, I just would like to do a little introduction to this song. This song was actually written for priests, and it is from God. It is the voice of God speaking to priests. And because we are all ministers of God, this is a song of God speaking to us. Now I'm ready.
Wherever you go, I will follow. Blessing or sorrow, though house be of canvas or stone, though Eden be lost to the past, though mountains before us be vast, wherever you go, I am with you. Fears and your doubts, I will call. like a city.
I think it's still my turn, right? I can hardly get through that song without choking. It always makes me feel emotional because it's a song of love. It's an absolute love song. And thank you so much for letting me share it with you. And I get to sing it again. I'm so excited. And we didn't get to practice. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Steve. We just jumped right in there. Okay, so you now know that my name is Jane Cheek, and yes, I am your supply pastor for today. Clearly, the Holy One has a strong sense of irony and a sense of humor because I am preaching not in a UCC church where I belong sometimes, but in a Methodist church where David Felton, devoted rabble-rouser of your denomination, is the pastor. No pressure. How did this happen? It happens like this. David and I have been friends since he was a junior pastor at Epworth United Methodist Church in West Phoenix. It has to be at least 30 years. And since my journey managed to put me in a pulpit for a while, David invited me to spend time with you here, and I'm honored to do it. And as you can see, you've been given a handout. And I'm going to give you a story that's my story and a message that I hope you will let land in your hearts. And it all starts with jumping on the ride. I love that he put a roller coaster ride on the intro picture. He's really good at that. And the words of wisdom you just heard from Paul. This powerful statement comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, a letter that he's written to the followers of Jesus in Rome before he can actually take a trip to meet them. He's never seen these people before. The Romans for Jesus, and I have that in quotes here, are struggling with a lot of issues, especially since Jesus died, and those who are inspired by his way and his example now are fired up and want to do the work he left behind. At the time, most of them agreed that Jesus' teaching and life was inspirational. But Roman Jews weren't quite sure how to handle all the details of changing their ways to embrace Jesus' ways and still be all right with what they knew before. In this letter to the Romans, Paul, who is a good Jew himself, spends a fair amount of time dissecting and rejecting food laws, sidestepping traditions concerning body rights of all kinds, and welcoming Gentiles to the cause. All this amazing support for Jesus came from a guy who never saw him or met him, who was not trained to be clergy of any kind, who was trained to be an administrator of Jewish law and tax collecting, and who even found ways to hurt his own people before he was slammed up the side of his head on a road trip and forced to recognize the power of God's love through Jesus in his life. Paul's ride was just like that picture, one amazing, twisted event. I chose this as our words of wisdom for Paul must have been hit on the road, right where I needed to be God-slammed myself. When I took a few minutes to look back on my life so far, I realized that over time, my own actions threw some intense curves on the path of my growth in faith. And I wondered how God responded. So what you have before you is a very rough timeline of my life, laid out in decades, lacking lots of details. The left side tells my personal story, and the right side, and it is two-sided, I'm sorry, I tried to keep it brief, but that was impossible. The right side tells my faith journey, and if you look across from any event, you'll see that it does make a difference where they start and stop. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of things, because it does matter. First of all, the yellow stuff is kind of, and you'll see there's a little code here. The yellow lines are where really, really bad things happened. Bad things. And everybody has this. If you were to do this, would yours look like this? You betcha. Well, maybe not like this. But definitely it would look like this, because all of our lives are up and down. And so you can see then my faith ride. Yes, it is one that went up and down in many different ways, depending on what you believe. I started my faith life as a Lutheran, a cradle Lutheran. And it was wonderful because it was very stoic and straightforward. But I remember in my mind when I was a young girl thinking, wow, is this all there, that this is what really is supposed to be? It wasn't bad, I just wondered. And then as I moved into a life, because I was married and then I got divorced and then I went to Texas, that's not even something you want to know. And then I had a lot of relationships because I was in my 20s. I will put my hand up for that. Everybody does that in their 20s. And then I met and married Norm, and he had two young girls, and he was Catholic. Now, I'm one of those people, I converted to Catholicism because, one, I thought, well, God will love me no matter where I am. And two, I loved my husband, and I thought, maybe he'll go to church with me if I go to his church. Didn't happen. I dragged the girls with me once in a while, but he didn't go. And so life moves on. We moved to Arizona. We were in Pennsylvania at the time. And then you'll see some really bad, there's a really bad section there, but I still was in the Catholic Church. My dad died of cancer. My mom, I realized, was an alcoholic, and my mom remarried, and she was still drinking. Those are all big things when you're in that age group. And I did find some comfort there because I liked a lot about the Catholic Church, but I changed some of it, as you'll see down here. And so during this time, what's the big red square? I went with David. I actually met David down in the very, if you could draw a line, right at the very bottom of this Catholic thing. David was part of a group that we did with music. It was all about music. He was playing his saxophone right in this ear. He stood right behind me. He did not sing. He played the saxophone. And we were in a little combo, and it was like the contemporary music in the Catholic Church. And so we combined our churches because his church, Epworth, was right up the road from mine, like 5 miles. And so that's how I met David, and we started to talk about stuff. We talked about our beliefs. We talked about music. We loved to do music together, and I did camp twice with David and Jeff, and it was crazy. And so I decided that I needed to be Methodist for a while. So I went to be a Methodist, and I was there a couple of years. I did music with the kids. That was what I did, because I'm really terrible at reading music, and I just know music. I can remember, but I can't read very well, so it's kind of scary. But they were good followers, and I spent a really good time. And then, what is this yellow line here? They took him away. He was in West Phoenix, where I lived, and they moved him all the way over to Villa de Cristo, where, well, it was nothing when they moved him, but that was like an hour and a half drive from where I lived. There was no way I was going to follow David to Villa de Cristo. And that was sad, because then I didn't know what to do with myself, excuse me. So I went back to the Catholic Church, and when I put my way under there, that means that I'm not really into Mary, and I'm not really into the Pope. And so I kind of just liked the community that I was with, because I was in Litchfield, and they had a big new church with a cute little chubby priest that was one of those guys. He was a mover and a shaker, and he made things happen, and he was a realist. He still had to preach stuff I wasn't sure I agreed with, but in private he told me what he thought. Because he was trying to do what was right for this giant community and make it a healthy, happy community. It was a bilingual community, so I spent a lot of time singing Spanish. It's really nice to sing phonetically. So that was where I kind of adapted myself to being Catholic again because I loved the community. It was a big message for me. All right. So you see now, we got divorced. Divorced Norm. Oh, met Don, because then I was, in the meantime, I went back to school. I did all this stuff very late in life. I got my degree to teach when I was almost 40. And then I married Don later on. And his back went out. And if you flip it over, you'll find out that more bad stuff was happening. And my mom's second husband died, and she was still having problems. And then I turned 50, and everything changed. Wow. What an eye-opener that one was. Because my mom's second husband died. We moved her to Prescott. My husband had a lot of back surgeries. My mom died, and I found the place that felt right for me, the United Church of Christ. And you'll hear kind of why, because it's a little, it still is a Bible-type church, but it allows for a really broad vision of what God can be for us. And that's where I needed to be. So you'll see then the last few years, because I have just turned 65, so this is not a decade, but you'll see that I left my church because I became a pastor. Wow. And there's a blue line that says a better ride, because it really was a good 6 years. I didn't want it to seem like it wasn't good. It was a good time to be there, and you'll hear about that. And then my dear husband almost died a year ago this past June of a horrible staph infection that he wore antibiotics for 7 weeks, 24/7. It was unbelievable. And yes, I did admit that alcoholism runs in families, and I figured it out. Yeah. And so, but there's this thing, and you'll see, now that we've talked about it, I did my talk. And I got to get back to my script, because that's how I preach. If you look at this lifeline, and even to me, it looks like I've had a ride full of twists and turns and ups and downs and scary and calm times, fun and fear, adventures all along the way. But there's this big white box that I've called the Great Chasm. And it lands right in the space after I stopped being pastor of First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. This is significant because it was one of the most influential times in my spiritual life. I actually left the church in January of 2015. It was my decision to leave after nearly 6 years of serving as the full-time licensed pastor in a congregation of about 100 people. In this role, I was lifted from the congregation and given full rights an ordained pastor would have within the confines of my building. So I was never ordained, but I was blessed and given the opportunity to serve in the building. We were broke, attendance was dwindling, and I was willing and excited to take on the job after serving as the church moderator for a couple of years, so that I was the president of the church board. I was found I didn't need to make a lot of money doing it. It was the perfect solution for a struggling congregation at the time. So the story of my service at FCC-UCC would take too long to really share here, but overall I'd say we experienced an exciting era of growth, cooperation, change, hope, and joy. We loved each other. We learned to listen to one another, to work for the common good, and we learned to accept who we were, a church right in the middle of a growing retirement community called Prescott, Arizona. The congregation sent me to seminary for some basic religion courses, and I attended a few thought-provoking weekend seminars with the likes of John Crossan and Brian McLaren. I went through a serious growth spurt, reflecting on and reinforcing what I believed about God in my spiritual life, many feelings that I'd held quietly in my heart. and they were affirmed during this time. FCC-UCC survived some rough patches, and I believe we separated with good feelings toward one another in spite of my leaving them. But I was bone tired from doing what I felt was good, hard work. And I also believed that I'd gone as far as I could with and for them in terms of what we could learn together. I sensed that they were ready to move into a new phase of their own growth with someone who could bring another perspective and fresh ideas. And since I had also been seriously reviewing my own beliefs, I found that I could no longer honestly pre-questioning mode. I elected to get off this ride, and an ordained reverend was brought in to take over. He's still there, and the church is doing well. So why the great chasm? Well, UCC rules, and I've learned many rules for other churches, other denominations, are pretty strong about returning to the church that you pastored, and they're fairly strict for a good reason. The new pastor has to have full freedom to create the church he or she envisions without the worry of comparisons or interventions from the former clergy. That makes sense. I was not to contact any of the members, nor was I to attend the church for worship. So basically, I was without a community, even though I felt that a break from all church work would probably be okay for a while. Finally, since I wasn't ordained, I wasn't technically a real pastor, so I wasn't invited to attend clergy events like retreats and special meetings. This put me out of touch with colleagues that I'd made friends with over the years. So I felt truly alone in my faith life for the first time in my life. My friend David Felton was the one constant through all of this. I spent the next 3 years on a journey that found me drifting away from the comfort and familiarity of a deep faith that I felt as a new, inspired pastor serving a church, searching for new meaning and answers to my questions. I investigated other religions and continued to read meditations by various groups each day. I found myself pondering what I really believed on drives to and from anywhere. And while I continued to be involved in organizations that served others as Jesus would, keeping me connected with like-minded folks in Prescott, I was feeling less and less connected to God's love, even though I always felt the presence of the Holy One in my daily life. And I've come to the conclusion, because of all this, that God is much bigger and more accessible to everyone throughout the world by many different names and many different forms of being than we realize or maybe even want to accept. I just can't put God in a box with one name anymore, but I will celebrate God any way I can. And I struggled with how to put all this together and wondered if I would ever find a community to share my beliefs with. My wild and crazy ride had taken me right to that great chasm, to a space that was separating me from the comfort and peace of a faith group where I could experience the absolute presence of a spirit I loved. There were other belief systems in Prescott, the Unitarians and Unity churches, and I visited them, but something was definitely missing. And it didn't help that many truly bad things happened in my life while I spent time in the chasm, as you can see from the timeline. So about the time that I accepted that maybe I was destined to bounce around myself on the bumpiest of roads with my crazy thoughts and feelings, I received a phone call from Reverend Dr. Bill Lyons, who is the conference minister of the Southwest Conference of the United Church of Christ, my church. He hesitantly asked me if I would consider helping to close one of the UCC churches in the Northland by being their pastor until the end. There wasn't anybody else in northern Arizona who could do it, and apparently no one in Phoenix was even interested in commuting. So this is my God slam up the side of the head moment. I heard God say, "It's time to go back." And taking a deep breath and with barely a pause, I said to him, "Yeah, I'll do it." And I did. I spent 3 months with a very small group of sad, grieving congregants. We worshiped together for 5 weeks, and then some of them helped me clear out their church to prepare their building for sale. Can you just imagine how all that felt? I remembered how it felt again to be a servant for the Holy One. I remembered that the Spirit is in all things at all times, even when a church closes. I felt a new kind of peace flow through me as I realized that it doesn't matter how we believe. All that matters is that we do. Each of us has a way of feeling it and showing it. God's love shoved its way deeply into my heart, and I realized that all this time, I hadn't been alone in my faith as I thought. I was the roadblock to allowing God to be what God is. As I tried to comfort these people by finding places for them to worship, the pastor from FCC-UCC contacted me. We had a nice phone visit about where I was on my ride of faith, and it was our first talk in more than 3 years, because I did visit with him when he took over my position. And then he invited me to return to church. He said something like this: "Old members who love you will be thrilled to see you again, and new members will be happy to meet you. And there are even folks who come to church who aren't really Christians, but they like us, I guess, and that's okay with me. You'd fit right in. Come on back." And I heard God say, "It's time to go back." I did. And it feels like going home after a wild and crazy ride. Thanks be to God. Paul is right. Nothing can get between us and God's love. Nothing phases us because God loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today, tomorrow, high, low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love, because the way of God, Jesus, and the Spirit has embraced us. May we always know the power and unpredictability of such a love. And blessings to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.